Welcome along to the D Word Podcast, where we talk dementia. Well, last year I invited Pete Middleton to join me for a Two Beats Christmas special, and we enjoyed it so much, I'm delighted to say this year he's back. Well, I can't believe it's a year since we last sat and did this with the first Two Beats Christmas special. But I must say, just I know this is radio, but, you know, Pete, you have surpassed yourself, not only, of course, with what you're wearing, but also with what's behind you as well, which is, you know, absolutely tip top. Excellent stuff. So a very warm welcome to the D Word Christmas special, my friend.
Gosh, yeah, we don't look a year older, do we, Peter? Not at all.
I don't know. I do. Well, you know, I've got a good face for radio, so I don't know whether I sound a year older or not. But no, you know, you're looking good, and I tell the listeners that you are you're looking very good. One thing amused me that you did during the year. You turned 71 this year, didn't you? And
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
There was a little graphic that said 71 today in your face dementia, which not only made me chuckle, but I thought that was brilliant.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's how I roll, really. You know, every day's a bonus, isn't it, eh?
Yeah, absolutely. But I think, you know, seriously, it's really important to have that, you know, that feeling, isn't it? To think, well, okay, I'm gonna win this one.
Yeah, and it's the small wins that matter.
Yeah.
You know, every day you come across things you can't do as well as you used to do, and the dementia's no. Not the only thing that causes that, just age in general does it. But you can find things way around most of them. And what you can't find a way around, well, then forget about it. Put it down and pick up something else. There's always something else to interest you and something else to do.
Well, talking of always something else to interest you, I mean, I'm an avid reader of your blog, Living with Dementia. And when I knew we were doing this, I thought I'd just catch up, you know, have a look back at a few things I've read on Pete's blog during the year. And I've got this massive list that listeners can't see on the left-hand side here. And before we came on, you said you'd had a busy year, but, you know, you're the man with the Duracell, other batteries are available, aren't you? I mean.
Well, the thing, you know, once you start to write a blog, you tend to feel, in the end, a little bit chained to it because you feel, you know, there are people there who are reading what, you know, fools that are reading what you've written. And you feel a duty to write a new blog. Having said that, as you know, I wake up every morning fired with righteous indignation about one thing or another that really annoys me about the world of dementia. So there's always new material to write things about. And researching these things, it means that I'm learning an awful lot through the process myself, and if I can transmit some of that to the people who are reading it, who are kind enough to read it, then that makes me happy.
Yeah, no, you know, I'm learning a lot, not only you, but, you know, I'm learning a lot looking. I mean, starting at some of the things, I mean, you've got this brilliant backdrop behind you, which I won't do justice to describing, but I will try. It says Merry Chaos, Kids, and it's in the format of the Beano and a tribute to the Bash Street Kids that I'm sure, you know, a lot of listeners were aware of, and certainly I was a real big reader of. And you produced that with AI, and you've been my inspiration for AI, really, because I've thought, if Pete's doing all this stuff with AI, I'll start to have a look and see what you can do. And it's incredible, isn't it?
Well, I've been watching some of yours as well, Peter, with great delight, especially that self-portrait you put up of yourself on LinkedIn the other day. And yeah, you know, the thing about AI is there's nothing special. It's garbage in, garbage out. If you can write a good prompt, a good description, then you'll get a good result out of it 9 times out of 10. And the art is writing that prompt. And the more you write them, the better you'll get at it. And it's just great to experiment, isn't it? Really?
Oh,
I've never been very good with a pen and paper. I'm left-handed. So I tend to rub out everything that I write with the side of my hand. So I learned long ago to try and find other tools to help me to do that sort of stuff.
Well, you've certainly done that for me. And, yeah, you know, keep Keep doing it. I mean, let's go through a couple of the things I've got on the left-hand side of my page here. And one of them I know, I've been doing a lot with football recently, and the England football team were led out by people living with dementia who were mascots, for want of a better word. And obviously that got very mixed reaction, didn't it? And I know it got a strong reaction from you. I agree with what you said about it.
Well, it was a wonderful thing for the people who went out onto that pitch at Wembley, and a wonderful privilege. And you could see the emotion in their faces, and it was fantastic. But it was presented by the press and some of the dementia charities as well as mascots. Now, to me, a mascot is a lucky charm, usually in football, represented by a child being led out onto the pitch hand by hand with an adult. And I thought, people with dementia are better than that, and I just thought it infantilized us, and I thought that those people were being taken advantage of in that respect. And many of them, all of them, I've got great respect and regard for. They've done an awful lot to help the sport of football and sport in general to become more dementia friendly. Let's face it, we're a big draw on the turnstiles, or we should be. The Purple Pound is quite a strong should have quite a strong influence in society, especially amongst people who are trying to sell products. So, and to pay them back like that, I thought it wasn't quite the way to do it. They could have designed something a little bit more collegiate and grown up.
Yeah, I do. I fully agree with you. And also, being a kind of dabbling in the world of football commentary myself, I think they could have informed the commentators a little bit better as well with some of the wording that was used, which was pretty inappropriate for that kind of occasion. But it's interesting that I wonder if do people just come up with those ideas and think, hey, that would be a good thing, and suddenly it spirals off, or do you think people actually think about the kind of things that we're talking about?
I think that should have been anticipated and should have been worked out in advance. The commentators on the day, I don't have any beef with at all. To fill 90 minutes with off-the-cuff commentary, I can't even believe how difficult that must be. So, every now and then you're going to put your foot in it. I'll never forget that famous bit of commentary that said the batsman's holding the bowler's willy. When Holding and Willie were part of the was it the English cricket team? I mean, that was just quite a magnificent faux pas, wasn't it? And and so we expect faux pas. In fact, Private Eye wouldn't survive as a magazine without the faux pas of commentators. But it's not it's unforgivable, I think, for the organisers not to have anticipated the sort of language that might be used by the press and to have done something about it, in press releases beforehand.
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
On this edition of the D Word podcast, my guest is Peter Middleton. One of my other favourites actually was when colour TV just came about, and I think the commentator was Barry Davis, and said, for those of you watching colour, Newcastle in the Stripes, which again was
Yeah, they had the
a
same thing with Pot Black, didn't they? The snooker
pop
programme, I
black,
think.
yeah. Absolutely, yeah. Cue balls behind the pink, wouldn't it? Yeah, I think it was, but carried on with that. I mean, it's been a bit of a theme, I think. On we're both kind of on LinkedIn and look at it very regularly. And this whole thing about words having power has been quite a thing that's kind of been brought up by a number of people this year, in terms of how we term things and quite how important it is to, get those words right.
Yeah, well, words take on a meaning, don't they, over time, and they're sometimes hijacked and turned into pejoratives, and that's a shame. It's a shame for all of us. When I was a boy, the polite way to refer to somebody who we now quite politely call black was to be a coloured person. Now that's sort of frowned upon. So it's the intention, I think, not the word, that that changes, and that's a shame. I'm very exercised at the moment by the term carer.
Up.
I've been speaking to some people from the LGBTQ plus community recently. Well, not recently. I often do, but we were talking about this term carer, and I really believe now that the word supporter is probably better. Because we tend to think of carers as family members. Not everybody has a family member. And so we've got to be careful to be inclusive. And I think supporter, my wife will be happier with that phrase, actually, that word, because she doesn't consider herself to be my carer at the moment, but she certainly supports me. Another one is lived experience, isn't it? I'm not quite comfortable with that. That term either. I don't know. I'm living with dementia, that's for sure. So I have lived experience of that.
I it's difficult, isn't it, with with those kind of words, and I guess when you know more about the subject and you're involved in that subject, then you look closer at the use of those kind of words. Because the other one that came up for me this year, I don't even think about this one, is that dementia itself is still sadly designed and defined by people that think it's all about memory loss. So, oh, you've got dementia, oh, short-term memory loss. And I was thinking, well, when you get a diagnosis, what do? You go to the memory clinic. Why are we actually calling it a memory clinic? Whereas, I've got friends with Lewy body dementia who've got perfect short-term memories, but a whole load of other stuff going on. And yet they go to get diagnosed at the memory clinic, which seems to reinforce this thing that dementia is all about memory loss.
We have dementia hubs here in Northamptonshire, and I really think that sorry, we have memory hubs. I really think there should be dementia hubs. Let's not be frightened of the term. Let's make people understand exactly what it is, that it isn't a one homogenous thing. There's no cure for dementia, like there's no cure for cancer. What we can do is now we can cure some cancers. Hallelujah. It's wonderful, isn't it? And so we're slowly chipping away at this big cancer by tackling the smaller cancers and certain sections of it. And that's what we're going to do with dementia, isn't it? One day we might find a cure for Lewy bodies. One day it might be Parkinson's or anything else that comes under that umbrella of dementia. But what we're not going to have is a cure for dementia. We're not going to have a tablet that cures all dementias. So it's all about it's all about terminology, the way that we use language to describe things, and sometimes we don't use it very well.
One of the great examples is still, I say this every year, you get asked what's the difference between Alzheimer's and dementia, where it seems, you're talking cancer diagnosis, I've had a cancer diagnosis, everything's fine, I've got brilliant treatment, but it was always, I've got cancer diagnosis, and then someone says to you, go on, what type? Because they want to inquire, they want to know what type. Whereas with Alzheimer's dementia and other dementias, we don't seem to have that convention. Because, someone says, oh, I've been diagnosed with dementia. If you carry the same convention forward, you go, which type? And then you say Alzheimer's, Lewy bodies, or whatever, which would make it very clear that dementia is an umbrella term.
I think, you're right, Peter. We need to fight for that. We need to educate, enlighten, and inform people. I mean, I know. I mean, it's the youngsters we need to speak to, isn't it? And those people who are in our universities at the moment studying to become, to healthcare professionals and teachers and people like that. Let's make them comfortable with the relationship between dementia and the various components that make up that umbrella term. Yeah, we ought to do that.
Talking, it's beautiful this, you know. Well, I don't make this up because now moving on to something that we did this year involving young people, involving terminology, involving radio as well, which was about the Spindee Network that we were both part of with the youngsters at Lewisham doing radio shows.
Weren't they fantastic? They were so fantastic. I couldn't manage to get down to London to meet them. I'd love to have done that because I was in awe of them. They were so professional. They were school kids, but they were great. And it was a delight. I did two broadcasts with them, me and Dr. Jackie Parks, and I thoroughly enjoyed every second of it. It's great to know that things like that are going on. Of course, I'm a London lad as well. I'd love to have gone down there and seen them. I really would.
Yeah, our whole thing about the Spindee Network, I know Jackie's done a lot of work on Spindee Network and all the things they've done. And I've only been going a year, but I really have achieved a lot.
Yeah, and great things to come. I think they want to get people with lived experience a lot more involved from the new year on. In various projects, I'm doing a video with them. I think next week, as a part of that, and to try to get new people. I'm on the what they call the CLEG, the Core Lived Experience Group. Sounds quite posh, doesn't it? But it goes to show that co-creation and co-production are at the heart of what Spindee does. For anybody who doesn't know, the object of Spindee, I think, is all about research, really. And selecting the right research projects and the right people and matching them up with funding. Great. It's a great thing to be involved in, I think. And the way that they've set it up is very, probably one of the most collegiate enterprises I've ever been involved in. People living with dementia are just part of the team. We're not different, and that's really good.
Yeah, I think, that's a really important aspect of any form of research now. And I've talked for talked to Music for Dementia, who are quite interesting in what they're doing now about trying to make music accessible. And
Yes.
we had a chat about, we've gone from a Rose Thorn and a 78 all the way up to Download with all the spots in between. And it's all happened in 50 years. It's all happened really quickly. And part of the thing that they were doing in terms of that was they had a meeting with various record company executives and tech companies or whatever, and they invited someone living with dementia to be part of the meeting. But what they didn't do is they didn't say this is living with dementia. They just left it. And so they took the meeting on, and at the end they said, "Did you know, we ought to tell you, I suppose, that X is living with dementia." And the record company executives and the tech executives were absolutely amazed.
That was oh fantastic, fantastic. I've been talking to some people from Dementia Disco, and they have this similar attitude. They know that we're not the virulent generation, although many people who facilitate dementia groups think that we are, and very often the playlists that they choose are not appropriate because it's the sort of music I wouldn't have touched with a barge pole when I was a young lad in the 60s. I wasn't a top of the pops person. But now, of course, we can create our and collate our own playlists. And that's going to be wonderful going forward. And AI is going to help with that too, I think, really. That playlist selection thing and finding music. So let's see where that goes. And I think a Dementia Disco would be a great idea for people like me who can't really sing and try not to for the benefit of other people. As I remember when I was at school, sorry, when I was a boy. Of course, we had a church every Sunday, and they always had a collection, but the collection was to pay me to shut up when the hymns came on because I was just rubbish. And so I don't sing, but in a disco, I will. It's a bit, I don't know, it's a bit different. It's a different atmosphere. I don't feel so self-conscious.
Yeah, we've got to get them on the show. They're actually on the list for next year to get Dementia Disco on. I just remember someone saying to me, said, if you've got a beautiful voice, then sing loud to celebrate. And if you haven't, sing even louder to get your own back, which, I don't know. Probably refers to me.
Well, when I was a boy, I went to school in Aristotle School in Brixton, and we had a steel band,
Yeah.
and
Okay.
I used to play in that. I wasn't very good with a musical instrument. I used to play the triangle, so I just used to sit in the back and ting. Sorry,
That's
sorry,
all
what a
right.
joke.
It's the Christmas show. You can get away with it.
It is a Christmas show. Speaking of that, I took my grandson to see Santa last week. I don't know, did I tell you?
No,
And
go on.
yeah, God dear, he stank of fags and cheap booze. But Santa still sat him on his lap, and gave him a present. So it was a win-win. And of course, dementia is a terrible thing. I forgot to buy myself an advent calendar, didn't I? Typical, but never mind though, because I've just started up opening up cupboard doors and just eating anything that's behind them. It's a lot cheaper and it has the same effect.
I think you're supposed to sew a meter all week now after you've said that, and you're a little ka-chung
I should have a little sound loop, shouldn't
You
I?
should. I'll see if I can find one. One of the other things that I read in your blog well, actually two things. One I saw on LinkedIn, actually, I'll go on to that, which really made me smile, was the bread pudding. Because you made some bread pudding. You put a
Oh, I
picture of
made
it
some bread pudding, and I've
on
made
LinkedIn.
more since. I took it to my dementia group, and it went down a treat. And I've got this thing about ephemera as well. It's not the big things. Well, if I go to a museum, I'm not looking for the crown jewels or the Mona Lisa. I'm looking for an old tram ticket, something that people actually used. And when you go to a dementia group, that's what takes people back, and that's what makes them tell you stories about things. So when I brought my bread pudding in, as soon as they smelt it, people were saying, I haven't had that since I was a little girl. And when we got talking about bread pudding, and they said, where'd you get the recipe? I said, well, I didn't get it off my mum, because she always used to say, I don't know, I just get some bread, I just get some milk, I just do that. She didn't know how she made it herself, so I had to guess. And the first one I made, I used a recipe, and it said put some cream in. And that's not bread pudding. So I got ditched the cream and found some other stuff, and I made a classic bread pudding. And it's so easy that I do it all the time now, and I love it. My little indulgence. And I've been making other stuff as well since then. I'm nurturing some sourdough now. Got to
Oh,
feed it every
hello.
24 hours and keep it going.
Yeah.
So I've got my own starter, and I'm going to make my own sourdough bread.
Oh,
I'm
okay.
always looking for something to do.
Yeah.
Because it's a great buzz when something works, isn't it? And you
Yep,
have a
well, most
success.
certainly. Well, certainly
Yeah,
the bread,
sometimes it doesn't.
the bread pudding took me back to Wood Green and my nan's house. A
Oh.
council house in Wood Green. I used to walk through the door, and there was the smell of bread pudding. And even just looking at that picture, I was there for a minute because
Oh,
it
Peter,
brought
you
all that
must
back.
make some.
Yeah, well, I'll give it a go. I like the sourdough idea as well. Yeah,
I'll send you my
excellent.
bread pudding recipe. It's
Oh,
only
good,
half an hour.
excellent, good stuff.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
You're listening to the D Word podcast here on UK Health Radio. One of the other things, actually, there's two other things that I thought were really important on you. And one of them was about the standardisation in prescription medication, because you brought up a point that I'd never thought of, that you get prescribed whatever and you are used to what it looks like. You go, you come again, aspirin, it's a small round white thing. But it now seems that you can get the same drug, but it looks completely different. And it's just something that's why
It
is it?
really annoys
Yeah.
me, Peter. It really annoys me. I could show you now. I've got some. I can't remember the exact tablets now. But even my donepezil that I take for my dementia, I've got three different types of donepezil. Two of them are brown. One's lozenge shape, and one's round. But I've also got a round white tablet as well. If I ever dropped them, I wouldn't be able to pick them up and know which was what. And of course, because I take so much medication, and I take vitamin supplements and things as well, I can't take them in a blister pack. Another reason why I can't do that is because I wouldn't take them if they were in a blister pack. I know what would happen. I'd know it was time to take my tablets, and I'd forget and go do something else. So I have to use a carousel that just keeps nagging me until I turn it upside down onto my hand. Sadly, that's the way I am. So that means I need to decant my own tablets every 2 weeks. I have to fill this thing up. So I quite often I've got my tablets in different containers, and quite often there's more than one type of tablet in every container because of this nonsense that there's no standardisation. I understand that the NHS needs to buy the drugs as cheap as they can on the market, but surely they're a big enough organisation to dictate a standard to the people who are producing it. I don't understand why they don't. I just don't think anyone's ever thought about it.
Well, I certainly hadn't till I saw you write about it. Art is it's a really important point. I mean, sticking with drugs, that probably the most controversial decision in dementia world was the decision of NICE to say to the NHS, you're not going to get these lecanemab, etc., drugs on prescription. You were fully behind that.
Great decision. Yeah, great decision. I know people who know those trials. They know that the success rate was pretty low. They know that the attrition rate was pretty high. Was it 30 odd percent of people who on the trials had bad bleeds on the brain? Something like 80% had bleeds on the brain, if I recall correctly. I'd have to check that up. And I believe there were some fatalities as well. It needed multiple lumbar punctures. Who's going to do those? The NHS? That's a lot of time. And the cost was ridiculous to give somebody, what, 3 or 4 months perhaps extra of life living with dementia. I'm sorry, that was ridiculous. And I'm so glad that NICE made that decision. They made it twice now, haven't they? They made it for donanemab as well, I believe.
Absolutely. And it made a lot of sense. Again, it's another example, I suppose, of what we've been talking about all the way through this is you need to look at the detail and need to get behind it to actually understand why some of these things occur. And I guess that part of the problem in my involvement with dementia has been everybody looks at it from a broad brush approach. And they don't really look at, they don't concentrate on the little stuff. And it's the little stuff that is really important.
I'm afraid we live in a world of sound bites now, don't we, Peter? It used to be when the Daily Telegraph was a newspaper, I would pick that up and actually read a long informed article about an item in the news. Now it's all, as I say, sound bite and shock stuff, and we don't get reasoned both sides of the debate about much unless we look really hard.
And I think it's, if I see another website that says, we will tell you the exact date when snow is to the UK, it's just, what is going on here with all that kind of stuff? It just wants you to click onto an advert, doesn't it, I suppose.
Yeah, and of course, we've got all this thing now as well. The word dementia is used as a pejorative. Let's go back to what we were talking about earlier on. Now, every time Donald Trump coughs, people say he's got dementia. Joe Biden had dementia, as if dementia is this horrible term. If somebody does something wrong, it must be dementia. I really hate that. There's plenty of people with dementia out there doing stuff that's absolutely right.
Yeah, absolutely.
You don't have to be have dementia to be a fool. You can just be a fool, can't you?
Yeah,
Don't I? And I'm both. So I'm very lucky.
You and me both are, you and me in terms of both being fools. But yeah, I think he's good. You have to laugh as well, which is something that, I talk to a lot of people about. Subject's very serious, but actually having the ability to laugh, produce backdrops like you've got and all that kind of stuff. And also I've got to ask you, some of the pictures I've seen of you this year, where do you get your shirts from?
Me, I get them. I get most of them from Vinted, so they're all second hand. Honest. So I can pick up a nice rugby shirt for a fiver or something. People give me them out of pity. But you're right. Without humour, what would we do? It's been a rough year for me in some ways. My good friend Nigel Haller passed away earlier this year, and then Jeff Mock, both from Swansea. Funnily enough, I went down to Swansea to Nigel Haller's stamping ground in May, just to go round there and to the museums that he used to support and what have you. And I wanted to meet Jeff. I organised a meeting with him, but he was too ill, so I never got to see him before he passed away. So two really powerful titans of advocacy for dementia gone. But it comes with the territory with when you're having dementia, I guess. You meet a lot of people in in that community and you become great friends, fast friends with them, knowing that that they're on a short fuse. So it's a shame.
It's a shame, but it's also important, and also, it's something that for me, I mean, a lot of people living with dementia, it means an awful lot to me.
And you can't let it daunt you. You've got to think, okay, I want to, I'm standing on the shoulders of giants here. I'm going to pick up the cudgels that they've been fighting the establishment with and do a bit of that myself because I owe it to them. That's the way it works.
Absolutely,
It's like a relay
certainly.
race, isn't it? Like a dementia
Yeah,
relay race. We
pass the
pass the
baton.
baton to each other.
Yeah, it is definitely. Well, sadly, I mean, time's kind of running out a little bit, so that means
Goodness me.
the extra 35 things I've got on the left-hand side of the screen here we'll have to deal with next year. But I would say to everybody, just have a look at Pete's blog, Living with Dementia. Because he brings out all sorts of things, and as we've demonstrated over the last 40 minutes or so, for me, it's brought up a lot of stuff that I've thought, oh, I never thought of that. And I think the more people we get that are producing things where people can sit there and go, oh, I never thought of that, then, the better everything will be.
It's been great to speak to you, Peter. I'm always wanting to learn me and pass on what I've learned because I find it fascinating. And that's the only reason I do it. I find it fascinating. Oh, other people might not know about this because I didn't know. And if they do, maybe they'll get back in touch with me and educate me a little bit more. There's so much I don't know. My wife will tell you that.
mine as well. We could talk a long time on that subject, I'm sure. But I don't, I've often been described as a Catherine wheel, that I kind of go around and spout out ideas as I go, flying off left, right, and centre. Which I guess I don't know whether you made that way or you become that way, but I think it's important. To recognize that in yourself and, just go for it. Don't change it. Just,
No,
that's who
no,
you are.
no. Absolutely right.
Well, it's been a pleasure as always. And what I want to do actually is get a screenshot of your background with you in it, which I think we I don't know if I'm going to achieve that right now, but I will achieve it before we go. Never done it before, actually. So anyway, for the listeners, while I get my head around that technology, I'm sure everybody would like to say, have yourself a great Christmas, Pete, you and the family, and we very much look forward to speaking to you again in 2026.
Thank you, Peter. Me too. And we've got the new year between now and then. And the new year's great for people living with dementia because we all get to sing Auld Lang Syne and nobody knows the words of that. So people with dementia are quite at home.
I think that's the place to leave it, isn't it? Thanks, Pete.
Thank
Thanks so much to Pete. Always great to catch up with him. And I'm sure he'll be back on the D Word in 2026. But in the meantime, check out the Living with Dementia blog. Well, that's all we have time for on this edition. Thanks for your company, and I hope you'll check back soon for some more dementia talk right here on the D Word podcast.